This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, and as always, at this time, each and every Wednesday, pleased to be joined by the Hall of Famer, Sports Radio 610, senior Texans columnist, and of course, my co-host for the Utopia Football Podcast, which dropped this morning. Our mailbag dropped this morning, houmailbag@gmail.com. And we've got another episode of preview of the Bears game dropping tomorrow. John McClain joining us right now. John, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. And the thing that's interesting about Brett, he was put on the non-football illness list.
That's right.
And so when you're put on an illness list, that tells you something's wrong. And I thought last week maybe he'd retire. He didn't play well in the first game. And I've never seen a team go this long without, and I know they're doing what Brett wants. And he didn't play well in that first game. And Quisenberry did three of those runs that Damian Pierce made between the tackles. Quisenberry made really good blocks, he and Kenyon Green. So I agree with Seth. He's the starter. He's going to be the starter the rest of the season. He's a 5-year veteran. He's made 11 starts, and they had the benefit of him starting in preseason when they were holding Brett out, and he got to develop a rapport with Davis Mills.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because I think a lot of people had understandable concerns about the fact that the center makes a lot of the calls in this offense. And at training camp, Quisenberry, I'm guessing, got at least 50% more of the reps than Justin Britt. I mean, he was out there a lot early on and as camp went along, where it wasn't just in the preseason games. Quisenberry was the starting center for, it looked like, the majority of snaps during camp.
He was, and that was a huge advantage for him in this situation. And the fact he's not like Jimmy Morrissey was last year, a guy who was signed after he'd been cut by the Saints, and he got to play quite a bit when Britt was hurt. So Quisenberry's better, and I think the line was better in run blocking. And after watching it over and over and over, I was wondering if he'd be a weak link, and he wasn't at all. So that bodes well for them to run the ball in Chicago, especially considering the Bears are giving up more yards rushing than the Texans are.
John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. John, Davis Mills is the big topic, it seems like, with everybody this week, especially on the heels of a game where the Texans didn't get the ball into the end zone in Denver. A very winnable game. Both these first two games have been very winnable, and the Texans sit at 0-1-1 right now. In your mind, what's the biggest thing that Mills is not doing these first two games that he was doing the final five games of last year?
His accuracy. He's not accurate. And when I went back and watched everything in slow motion, his receivers were covered. They weren't getting separation. A lot of them didn't get open, and he was trying to get the ball to them. And so when a guy is covering the receiver, it's got to be a pinpoint pass. The accuracy's got to be perfect. And it wasn't. He overthrew him on sideline routes. He underthrew him over the middle. A couple he threw behind him. The play that should have been a touchdown to Brandon Cooks was thrown low, but Cooks still should have caught it. But I would say that. And the fact is, they've been in the red zone two times. They've scored one touchdown on two trips to the red zone, and that's awful going against two teams that are struggling out of the gate.
Yeah, I guess if you're to look at Mills right now through his career, he's started 13 games. So, almost a full NFL season or three quarters of an NFL season. He's got 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's got a quarterback rating of 87.6. He averages, and this is the one that would be concerning in the modern NFL for me, he averages 205 yards passing per game. I guess it's different. He's in a different offense. This is his first year as the full-time named starter. Do I throw out last year's stats, or is it fair to start looking at the sum total of everything he's done?
I think it's fair to look at the sum total of everything he's done. You know, people are ready to write him off after a bad game at Denver, which was the third lowest rating of his career and his worst since they lost to the Colts 31-3 in October. But he needs to bounce back against the Bears. Bears are nothing special. Texans are 3-point underdog. I know one person at least that picked the Texans to win the game, and he's on this air right now.
Damn right.
And that would not be me, and it would be Seth, I don't think. But it is definitely winnable at 3 points. You know, Justin Fields is nothing special. You know, the last time they went to Soldier Field 2 years ago, it was their worst game of the season, the most lopsided loss they had, 29 points.
Oh,
Watson
right.
And the offense were terrible. The defense was awful. Mitchell Trubisky. Now, think about how solid a quarterback Mitchell Trubisky would be in Pittsburgh if he threw for 267 yards, 3 touchdowns without an interception, like he did against the Texans. And that would help that Montgomery had an 80-yard touchdown run, and the Texans better off. They perform better in this appearance at Soldier Field, which will be Lovie Smith's second trip back. He lost with Tampa in 2014.
I forgot about that Chicago game in 2020. I mean, that was a season, John, that was already off the rails, but that was the really off the rails game. that was 36-7 or 39-7, something like that?
36-7.
Yeah.
29-point loss, worst of the season. It was 34 degrees, and Trubisky, he was 24 of 33, 267 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 126.5 rating.
You know, the thing about Soldier Field for the Texans was that the previous time they were up there was when it was Arian Foster hadn't been running all that well that season, and then he kind of took off at Soldier Field, did he not? That ended up being one of the better victories for the Texans that year.
That was a primetime game. The weather was terrible. I remember being just inside the tunnel with about 4 minutes left, and the wind was just blowing like crazy. And when they won that game, the players were so excited coming in, you'd think they'd won a playoff game. And they were excited, not just that they won on the road against the Bears, but the fact that the weather had been so bad and they had still managed to win.
Well, you know what, John? I remember that season, too. Arian, that might have been the vegan season. Arian was slipping a lot up to that game. And I remember thinking, oh, great. Like, Arian's slipping, like, as he's trying to do his one cut and go. And now they're going up to Soldier Field. And I think he just had long spikes in, and it made all the difference in the world. We need to revisit. Sean, that's a podcast episode for you guys. Go talk to Arian Foster about his cleat selection that season.
Okay.
And what how the hell did a guy who'd been slipping all year long end up having his best game at Soldier Field?
The funny thing is about Arian, he would probably rather talk about cleat selection than the actual plays that were run during the game.
Like, yeah.
He likes random stuff like cleat selection and Egypt and philosophy and things like that. John McClain joining us. He's brought to you by hornsolutions.net. John, which of the three victories on Sunday where teams came back from deficits where they had less than a 2% chance of win probability in that game? So I'm talking about Arizona coming back on the Raiders, the Browns coming back on the Jets, or the Dolphins coming back on the Ravens. Which of those three is, they're all amazing. Which one is the most significant of the three to you?
Well, for the Texans fans, it's the Jets. Joe Flacco, 4 touchdown passes, and the way the Browns did everything they could in the last 2 minutes to lose that game, and the Jets beat them. That's good for the Texans and their fans because they want the Browns to lose games they should win, and they blew that one. Kyler Murray's made great plays his entire career, even though it was special. I wouldn't put it up there. And if you look at the weapons Tua Tagovailoa has, and then you consider Baltimore's defense, I think they're playing two rookies in the secondary, even though that was incredible. He does have two incredible receivers and some really good weapons across the board at skill positions. We're talking about Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
He didn't do squat in the first game, and he was terrible, and everybody thought they were going to lose that game, and the Browns were crushed physically and mentally.
John, the Texans used Damian Pierce much more than Rex Burkhead, and people were happy about that. The Bears, so far through this season, have a pretty good pass defense and an absolutely atrocious Texans-level run defense. Is this the week that Damian Pierce really breaks out?
Come on, Seth. They're only giving up 189.5 a game. You know, the Texans are not even worse. The Texans are third worst, giving up 163. Even the Titans are worse than them at 169.5. Pierce needs to get the ball at least 20 times. And what I'm curious about, you know, say they do well and the running game is working and they want to run about 40 times. He's not going to carry it. Who's going to carry it? Burkhead? Burkhead, to me, is a third down back, not a second down back. And, but I don't know. Would they go with Freeman or Gumbawale? I think they've left themselves with a hole, not having a backup running back who's capable of 5 to 7 carries when Pierce needs a breather.
John, how many wins the AFC South this year?
Seven.
Seven?
I mean, think about how bad they are. Look, Titans are terrible. They got injuries on both sides of the ball. Tannehill's terrible. The Colts are pathetic. Watching the Colts get beat 24-0 in Jacksonville makes you even more exasperated that the Texans couldn't hold that 20-3 lead. And Jacksonville may win the division. The Texans are only a half game out of first place.
I know.
They win this game. They could be competing for the division title. I think this is worse right now. Maybe it changes. It's worse than I've ever seen it.
Yeah.
I know you don't have Netflix, John, but I feel like we could win this division and be the mayor of Kingstown, which is like this prison town that these guys
I've
are
seen
the
mayor of, I've seen that. It's, yeah. It's not just – it's on Paramount Plus, too.
Oh, it's on – that's right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
John with the well actually on streaming services is underrated. It's great. Payne and Pendergast with John McClain, brought to you by Horn Solutions. Hornsolutions.net. Hey, John, I saw the list of Hall of Fame nominees came out. There's a lot of them on there. A few former Texans on there. We've talked about Andre Johnson until we're blue in the face. We all hope Dre makes it this time around. Hopefully he's got a good shot at that. Shane Leckler, what do you think the Hall of Fame trajectory is going to look like for Leckler? Is he going to have to wait for one of those years where it's a little light on surefire candidates?
I believe he will, because there's only one punter in the Hall of Fame, and that is Ray Guy. But something works in Shane's favor. And since Shane spent most of his career with the Raider guy who's on the selection committee will present him, and then I will chime in. But the thing that Shane has going for him, on the 100-year anniversary team, he was the second team punter to Ray Guy, which means in 100 years in the NFL, he was deemed by a group of experts to be the number two punter in history.
Wow.
And that's pretty good when it comes to the Hall of Fame. But I think it'll be a year in which there's not locks. I'm worried this year about Andre. He made the cut from 15 to 10, and he needed one more to be in the Hall of Fame, and he didn't get it because we didn't put in anybody first-time eligible. I thought Ware would be a lock since he's one of the greatest pass rushers in history. So I'm guessing him, Joe Thomas, and Darrell Revis will be locks next year, and that leaves two spots, and I'm hoping Andre will occupy one of them.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you were saying there weren't going to be any locks, and I was looking at Darrell Revis and Joe Thomas. I guess Joe Thomas, what the one downside, if it would be that he was never on a good team. Like Tony Boselli made the Hall of Fame because he was really dominant on teams that were really good at the time. Joe Thomas is kind of the opposite, right? He played forever, but he was just never on a good team.
I think one of the things that helps him is he's always in the limelight. He's out there. There have been some other players who were great on bad teams. Tommy Nobis, the UT linebacker in San Antonio native, who's been a finalist for Modern Era and Seniors. He's still not in. Bill Frelich was a great player with the Falcons for a long time, and I think that worked against him. But I think everybody I've talked to thinks Thomas is going in on the first ballot, and I think DeMarcus Ware will. And Revis, because he played with the Jets in New England, you know, everybody thinks he's a lock, and so that would leave two spots. And hopefully, Andre, I'll do as well as I possibly can in the presentation, and there'll be others who talk for him as there were last year. I think there were six. And so I'm not confident. I'm never confident going into our ballot. I was with Bruce Matthews. He's the only one because he went to 14 Pro Bowls. But all the other Oilers who I've presented who made the Hall of Fame, I was not confident.
You got to go in cocky, John, and get Andre in there. Change that up. Go in with, like, super confident and be like, wow, this is a different McLean explaining Andre. He's from the U, John. You got to go in with swagger like you're from the U.
You know what you got to do, John? You got to take the strategy, remember, of, like, acting like, of course, nobody's dumb enough to not vote for Andre Johnson.
Yes.
Here. What am I? I mean, I don't want to talk down to you guys. I mean, like, I just assume that you know you're going to do the right thing, right? Like, am I taking crazy pills?
Yeah.
Have that attitude.
Yeah. And they'll think, who the hell does he think he is? I'm not voting for his guy.
Oh, come on. It's a bunch of sports writers. They would never think that.
You need to talk to Sean about the high-pressure sales tactics that he used to use as a salesperson.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Or the smack-off. John, I'll write a 4-minute smack-off about Andre Johnson.
Sean had a return and refunds rate of like 75%. They were always calling him into the office, being like, what are you telling these people to get them to buy that they so immediately regret?
I don't even know what I'm saying. It's how I'm saying it. That's right. All right. John McLean, the Hall of Famer, joins us each and every week. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. A quick reminder, Texans Mailbag Day, the newest episode of the Utopia podcast, just dropped this morning. It's me and John answering your Texans and NFL questions and Jalen Petrie living at home questions. We've got a few of those in there in the newest episode as well. We find out what John's first apartment situation was out of college.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's so a shag carpet, little swinging bachelor pad.
I'm not going to say anything.
Sean, that was back when journalists were making like $400,000 a year.
That's right.
As cub reporters, living the high life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. It's a tease.
They handed out cocaine at the drugstore back then.
It's a tease.
They did.
I'm not telling you anything. It's
okay.
A tease. Find it now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's a Utopia football podcast. John, I'll talk to you in a few hours for our little Bears and Texans preview we're dropping.
I look forward to it, and I wanted to point out on GallerySports.com, I'm doing a column on Lovie Smith going back to Chicago where he lost in his other appearance, and I'm writing an Astros column, my first Astros column for Thursday. Fired up about that. Guys, thank you very much.
Always, John. We appreciate the time. That is John McLean joining us here each and every week at this exact time. Hey, let's give away some tickets right now. We've got Cats versus Jacks. Yeah, one of college football's fiercest rivalries returns to NRG Stadium, October the 1st. It's the Sam Houston Bearcats, Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks, 96th annual Battle of the Piney Woods. It's presented by HEB, all part of a big weekend out at NRG full of food, football, family fun, Texans Chargers the next day. Tickets and suites for the Battle of the Piney Woods on sale starting at just $15. Or caller number 5. Caller number 5 wins a pair of tickets right now, 713-572-4610. 713-572-4610. Two more chances to win today. Two more days after this with chances to win. We're doing it all week long. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster or battleofthepineywoods.com to secure your seats today. Or listen to the game here on Sports Radio 610 as color commentated by Seth C. Payne.
That's right. And I expect magnificence out of that game. There have been some, whenever I'm the color commentator, even in some of the more lopsided victories, there have been comebacks in the fourth quarter. It's going to be good. I promise you that.
It'll
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Sam Houston.
See, now that's a sales pitch.
Stephen F.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a sales pitch. All right.
I'm talking about those, and those, I'm talking to those two individuals, not even the schools. I'm talking to the ghosts of Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin right now. You guys are welcome. What I'm doing for your namesake.
They're sitting with each other, nodding their heads right now.
But it's fun. I mean, there's always NFL talent on the field with those two teams, and it's a great atmosphere.
Really,
it's a great atmosphere.
Yep, it's a lot of fun. Up next, Justin Fields. Davis Mills pretty vanilla in the things he says. Justin Fields, not quite as vanilla, and it's got people in Chicago a little upset. We'll let you hear what he had to say next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Wednesday. Big thanks to John McClain joining us on the show. Big congratulations to Rufus in Brookshire. Good job, Rufus. You are on your way to the Battle of the Piney Woods. Justin Fields, he is the second-year quarterback for the Chicago Bears. They traded a first-round pick to move up 9 spots to get him. Back in
the way you said it, I thought you were about to say he was NFC Player of the Week or something. And I was wondering, how the hell did that happen?
No, he might have been the worst player in the NFC last week. Well, he only threw the ball 11 times. I guess that would be somewhat concerning in a game where you lost 27-10 that your future franchise quarterback threw the ball 11 times the entire game. Justin Fields not making a ton of friends in Chicago. Here is what Justin Fields had to say when he was asked a question about how it feels to lose a game like they did Sunday night to the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. But, you know, we just got to respond.
And the question, I guess, just to be clear, he didn't unprovoked bring up the fans. I want to play the answer one more time because let me set it up a little better. He didn't unprovoked bring up the fans. The question was, you know, talked about how the fans were feeling about the loss. You know, what do you think about how you guys are feeling? How it was collectively bringing everybody up. The question did, but again, here was the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. But you know, we just got to respond.
Just for no reason at all. Just sideswiping the beleaguered Bears fan.
Do we give him a pass on that?
No. That's honestly, you know how I feel about quarterbacks. I feel like judgment. Yeah. They're very. I think judgment is a crossover characteristic where a lot of things in life don't cross over and work the same way in football. So sometimes, a lot of times, the guys with the best football character might be idiots off the field. Sometimes guys who are awesome on the off the field, like Boy Scouts in the community, are just bad teammates. So like there's not always crossover. With quarterbacks and judgment, I feel like those two are intertwined because so many times I've seen quarterbacks who have bad judgment in real life have bad judgment on the football field. Jameis Winston would be the number one example where his judgment has done him in, like more than anything. He's very – like Jameis is very smart, but there's a difference between intelligence and judgment. And Jameis has exhibited poor judgment. I think he might have grown out of it finally this year, but – or over the last couple of years. But with Fields, yeah, I feel like judgment is an issue. And like not having the good judgment to not just sideswipe the fans in a comment, in a question, like in an answer that really has nothing to do with the fans and would be easily avoided. That's poor judgment. Which also reminds me, Sean, now that I'm thinking, I sent you the video last night. I'm watching the Bears Packers game.
Dude, I know which play you're about to talk about. Because you sent me a few of them. I mean, I know exactly which one you're about to say.
So I think this is in the second quarter, and Justin Fields has already had a rough go of it in this game. Yeah. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, he scrambles, steps up in the pocket, and makes a nice pass. But I'm thinking, what's wrong with it? Oh, he's like 3 or 4 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Okay. Just so you know, Clint and I, that was while Clint and I were doing the post game show because it was a late game or a late afternoon game for the Texans. So post game is going on while the Sunday night football game is going on, and we had the Sunday night football game on the TV. And on that play, a lot of times when guys go over the line of scrimmage, most of the time they have to replay it to see if he truly was all the way over. Like it's usually that close. On that play, he was so far over the line of scrimmage. I looked at Clint and I said, "Did they have the graphic wrong on the line of scrimmage? He's 4 yards in front of the. I'm pointing at the screen. I'm like, Clint, he just threw that 4 yards in front of the line of scrimmage. Is the graphic wrong? And sure enough, they replayed it. And honestly, that's as concerning as that is. Okay, more concerning. Ben, cue it up one more time. More concerning. Justin Fields having this to say about the how much the loss hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts more in the locker room than the Bears fans. I mean, because at the end of the day, they're not putting in any work. But, you know, we just got to respond.
All right, they're not putting in any work. Or, more concerning, that cut or being 4 yards over the line of scrimmage on a pass. If you're the Bears. Which one can you coach out of him easier?
What our old friend from Houston, from CSN,
Lila Rahimi?
Yeah, Lila Rahimi. Did she weigh in on the Bears fans?
I don't know. I didn't look.
Oh, I thought you would put that in the show prep.
I did. No. You're looking at something else. I've got an old cut. Lee Elia. I was gonna get to Lee Elia, yeah. This is what I was gonna say. Is that the Justin Fields sideswipe on Bears fans is only the second worst sideswipe on Chicago fans in the history of Chicago.
Yeah.
The worst one was Cubs manager Lee Elia. You think this was bad, what Justin Fields said? Like, they don't put the work in, Chicago fans? This was Lee Elia, manager of the Cubs, back in 1983. And this is back when they played all afternoon games at Wrigley. This was Lee Elia on a rant where the media was running tape on it about Cubs fans.
I'll tell you one f***ing thing. I hope we get f***ing hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 f***ing people that show up every f***ing day. Because if they're the real Chicago f***ing fans, they can kiss my f***ing ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My f***ing ass. What the f*** am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my f***ing players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the f***ing nickel-dime people to show up? The motherfuckers don't even work. That's why they're out at the f***ing game. They only go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and a f***ing living. 85% of the f***ing world's working. The other 15 come out here.
So if I were Justin Fields at the next press conference, I would just press play on that rant and say, look, at least I didn't do this.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's torching the people who actually show up is that's the double whammy there. You should be torching the people that don't show. If you're going to torch them at all, which is stupid, which is idiotic, then at least torch the people who aren't showing up versus the ones that actually show up through the roughest of all time.
That's like making
after your wife leaves you, the friend that's there for you after you've distanced yourself from all your employers, coworkers, your wife, the friend that shows up at your house with a beer, and you bitch about the choice of beer that he brought. You know, you don't deserve anything good.
Yeah, I had just remembered Lee Elia going on a rant with a bunch of F-bombs about Chicago fans. I had forgotten, when I went and found it on YouTube, I had forgotten that it was about the actual fans that were showing up at Cubs games. I thought it might be about the city not supporting the team. But instead he was a restaurant that had three booths full out of 20, and he's yelling at the three people that are sitting in the restaurant for talking too loud.
How about if you were Mario Cristobal and you're trying to, really make something of the University of Miami's once illustrious football program, and your quarterback goes on a podcast with Justin Palmer and says this about the experience at your home stadium.
Like home games better or away games?
I like away games better.
Same.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Most quarterbacks say that, yeah.
We don't really have much of a college atmosphere because we play at Hard Rock, so we're about 45 minutes away from campus, so a lot of students will go up and watch the game, unless it's like a big game, but that's why I like going into away stadiums and seeing that college atmosphere and playing there and making the crowd quiet.
What?
Yes.
I had not heard that. Okay. 85% of the people have a job. The other 15% are Canes fans.
He must have found out that Cristobal was recruiting a young quarterback or something.
Dude.
You imagine, you got everybody recruiting against Miami right now. It's like, hey, sure, they got, they got all kinds of attractions that a young man would be interested in.
Okay.
But look, here, listen to their starting quarterback.
This is relevant. And this is relevant, and here's why. We have been talking about Davis Mills till we're blue in the face the last 2 weeks and about the chances of replacing him after the season. There are going to be a handful of quarterbacks that are in the mix if the Texans are indeed going to replace Davis Mills.
Yeah.
The top four or five quarterbacks in college football right now on the draft board are generally thought to be, I'm not talking about Nick's draft board, I'm just talking about the mock drafts and things like that, Bryce Young, Alabama, C.J. Stroud, Ohio State. Those are the big two. Tyler Van Dyke is next on the list. Him and the Levis kid from Kentucky are the next two. Honestly, dude, I'm crossing him off the list.
Yeah, that's a dumbass thing to say, man.
Yes.
Your quarterback, everybody else on a football team can be a dumbass.
Yes.
Your quarterback can't be a dumbass.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. I mean, within reason, Terry Bradshaw, that was a bygone era. But for the most part, these days, having a dumbass as a quarterback is a bad move. That was a dumbass thing to say.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Were you awed to be in the presence of Jordan Palmer? Jordan Palmer, you know how it is. He gets you talking. What the hell are you doing?
And they were egging him on, too. They're like, yeah, great answer. Great answer on this one. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, the road's the place to be. Oh, my God. We're getting you ready for Texans and Bears Sunday afternoon in Chicago. Texans countdown gets going at 9 a.m. It's presented by Modelo. Kickoff is at noon. Texans postgame gets started as soon as the clock hits zeros. Up next, we do it every Wednesday, Power Ranking Palooza. Where are the Texans? Where is the AFC South as a whole right now across the various power rankings? We do that next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Power Rankings Palooza. Every Wednesday, actually every Tuesday, I go through five of the biggest power rankings and I consolidate them. And I put them in a spreadsheet, and it spits out an average ranking, and it tells me where all 32 teams sit. And I will tell you right now, stock is slightly down on the Texans.
So the disrespect.
Exactly.
Tired of the disrespect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Major disrespect.
Look, maybe these people that put together these power rankings are not aware of altitude. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's basically impossible to win in Denver. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Hello.
So, yeah.
ESPN.
I wish altitude had been an issue. I wish it had come down to like the actual last few minutes of the game and that somehow it was different in the last quarter than it was in the previous parts.
The reason Davis Mills was sailing passes over people's heads is because the air is thinner and he had not adjusted to it.
That's a good point.
He's used to the heavier air, the humidity of Houston, even though it's 72 degrees inside NRG Stadium.
I did think, actually, just real quick, that, you know, much like when the Astros go out to play in either Arizona and sometimes Denver, the dry air does make it harder for pitchers to grip the ball, that both teams were pretty shoddy in terms of drops in that game.
Yeah.
The Broncos early on especially, like they dropped some really well-thrown balls by Russell Wilson.
I always like to look when it's a late afternoon game like that. And of course, in Denver, it's a little earlier in the afternoon for them because they're on mountain time. It's probably, 2:30, I guess. But I always like to see if it's an outdoor game. Like, okay, the shadows. They talk about that in baseball sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ball coming in and out of the shadows.
Oh, okay. Two things, then more. And then I swear I'm done, Sean, knocking us off track.
You're good.
For one, it was hot also. So the altitude, everybody thinks about being winded, and that's how the altitude gets you. But it also is very dehydrating, that dry air. And guys don't realize it, especially if you're from Houston, because in Houston, you're used to sweating your butt off when you're hot.
Yep.
Up there, it all evaporates. So guys, it's kind of like being out on a boat when you don't realize that you're getting sunburned and dehydrated because the wind is blowing. Guys don't realize that they're not hydrating enough. Derek Stingley cramped up in that game. And I wonder if he was just a little bit dehydrated. So that's at least one of the things that could have been an issue.
All right, so
and I had a second point, but I forgot it. So let's move on.
No worries. Power ranking Palooza. We consolidate the five ESPN, the five power rankings, the five families of power rankings, like the mob: ESPN, CBS, SI.com, NFL.com, and The Athletic. I'll start with ESPN.com has the Texans 31st right now, Seth, out of 32.
Okay.
Most of these, Carolina is the team that can be found below the Houston Texans.
Okay.
Carolina, although in this one it's Atlanta. So what do we know? Here's what DJ Bieniemy says. The category they have for these power rankings are biggest early season adjustment they need to make.
And this is where ESPN, because they have DJ Bieniemy, it's kind of like we have a vote, you know. This is it's a representative democracy. It could have been worse if it not for DJ Bieniemy fighting to keep us out of that bottom spot.
Tooth and nail, yes. Yeah. Biggest early adjustment the Texans need to make, improve the passing game.
Uh-huh.
I agree.
Easier
said than done. He does give some stats. Mills has completed 50% of his passes. 56% of his passes. Passer rating of 80. Boy, those are bad numbers. That's me saying that. The defense has been fine. They're holding teams to 18 points a game. Mills struggles on third down. On third down, he is 8 of 19 for 41 yards and is completing only 36% of his passes thrown beyond 10 yards.
I think I'll go ahead and mention the next one because he says they say a similar thing. CBS has the Texans as 30th.
Yep.
And they say the defense played well against the Broncos, but they didn't score a touchdown. You won't win many games doing that, and Davis Mills has to be better. Yes, 100%. I do think that I think the defense has played looking like they've improved over last year. I wouldn't be just quite so convinced by points allowed just yet, because teams are 100% in the mode of not worrying about scoring a lot of points. Like the opponents have run and run and run and soaked up clock and done a lot of things to just control the game without taking untoward risks. So I think this defense is improved, and I think more importantly, they can improve as the season goes along because of the youth in the secondary, and because I think some of the pass rush will start to kick in, as we started to see in this last game. So I do think it's an improved defense. I'm pulling up short of saying that they're playing well or acceptably just yet.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I didn't realize, like, Denver, you know, the Texans, the defense only gave up 20 against the Colts, but the Colts shot themselves in the foot a lot and gained over 500 yards in that game.
Yeah.
Denver, after two games, I mean, it's kind of similar. I mean, the Broncos ran the ball real well against the Texans. Russell Wilson was not great. They did a good job on Russell Wilson. His completion percentage was not good. Denver's still averaging 6.1 yards per play, which, for those who don't keep track of that stat, it's really good. They're seventh in the league. Like, Denver, as much of a clown as Nathaniel Hackett is and as annoying as Russell Wilson is, that they've got a decent chance to turn things around. I hate to say it. The next one, SI.com. This is the one that's most bullish on the Texans. This is the one, Seth, that has, this is the ranking that has what you love, a 2 in front of it, not a 3. They are 29th in the SI.com power rankings. And here's the caption. The Texans are not going to win a lot of games this year, but they will come awfully close to winning a respectable number of games this year against better opponents.
Yes, respectable.
Respectable. We love the word respect.
A lack of disrespect.
I like that. That said, Davis Mills is currently operating at a minus 10 completion percentage over expectation, meaning that he's completing 10% fewer passes than he should. That feels about right.
Yeah, and I think that's where I think I differ a little bit. I'll have to, you know what? I'll go back and just fact check myself. Where John was saying that there weren't open receivers to throw to at the end of that game last week, or in the, I'm not so sure I completely agree, but I'll go back and fact check myself. I do think that less than expected completion percentage is very much an indication of, he's got opportunities, he's got open receivers, and he's missing the mark on them.
NFL.com. All right, get your disrespect card back out, Seth. 32nd among 32.
32nd?
32nd.
Below the Panthers?
Below everybody. Dan Hanses is who you want to direct your ire at. Here's what he
says. Oh, Hanses. He's a Yankees fan.
Is he?
Yeah, you know what? They used to have me on that podcast a lot. I listen to the Around the NFL podcast. I like it a lot. They used to have me on it a lot.
Yeah.
The last time I was on, he tried to throw shade at the Astros at the end of the podcast, and I flipped out. And I haven't been invited back on since. I wonder if it's Hanses. I wonder if it's Hanses that's to blame.
I don't know who's to blame, Seth, but them not having you back on the podcast, you know what that is.
Ratings failure?
Disrespect.
Disrespect.
It's disrespect.
I'm tired of the disrespect Hanses has been showing me. And now, he did this with a little sneer on his face, I know. As he thought about Jose Altuve and my passionate defense of him,
he
went ahead and plopped Houston down at number 32.
I'm going to take this out on Seth by disrespecting the Texans. Here's what he says. It's not too early to have serious concerns about the Texans' offense. A week after Mills and company disappeared in the fourth quarter against the Colts, Houston managed just, 234 yards and 3 field goals. Is that all they had, was 234 yards of offense? That doesn't even sound right against
since,
the Broncos.
Since when?
In the Broncos game.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound right. Anyways, Mills also fumbled twice. He averaged less than 5 yards per attempt in an uninspiring effort that included a 4-and-out in the final minute. A bright spot for Houston, the defense, which repeatedly turned Denver away in the red zone. Okay, that's an interesting one. I mean, as you and I pointed out in this segment and throughout the week, the defense has been fine, better than expected. I think it's got room to improve, obviously. The red zone stuff has been a big thing. They've been good in the red zone so far.
Honestly,
I feel like if Nathaniel Hackett, if anybody other than Hackett is calling plays, they probably score. They probably score on at least one of those
possessions. Well, I think that you have to, I'll give Lovie Smith's defense credit, because I do. And again, I'm saying this with a relatively positive tone. I think that the defense has improved and will continue to improve. I just don't think that they're not necessarily playing, you know, credible defense yet. That's been my goal for the Texans, a credible defense.
Yeah.
In the red zone, though, I think that Lovie Smith's defenses, who aspire to be really good in zone coverage, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that he's a zone guy the way he was back in the 2000s, early 2000s. He has different, become more, you know, man heavy than he used to be. But when you get down into the red zone, what happens with zones? They compress. And if you've got guys that are adept and competent in it, then you should be able to, it should be easier to defend. So I think that hopefully what they're doing in the red zone now starts to get replicated at the middle of the field, because they're playing like a good Big 12 defense, one that lets up a lot of yards but can come up with big plays in the red zone or can create turnovers elsewhere and kind of stop drives. You become more about how do I stop a drive than you are about, you know, total yardage or things like that.
Yep. All right. The Athletic, I won't read. The Athletic has a long write-up. They have the Texans rated 30th. So I say all this to say the Texans' average ranking is 31st right now. It'll probably go up, I would think, especially if they beat the Bears. If they beat the Bears this weekend, they'll move up. The biggest takeaway, the AFC South averages, the four teams average 26th. In the ratings here, like the average AFC South team is 26th among 32 NFL teams. It is a bad division right now.
I think if I look at the defense, the thing that I'm a little bit discouraged by was after the first week, their pressure percentage, the percentage of time that they created pressure on the quarterback, was close to middle of the pack, where now they're back down to 28th in the league.
Yep.
Yeah, they got a. I think they're in the missed tackles. They're still leading the league in missed tackles.
Those are big.
So yeah. Oh wait. Did they? Yeah, hold on a second, Sean.
All right, well, let me.
I did this. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me bounce out because we.
Okay, my stats were wrong. So it's a little bit better than I was saying.
Good.
So stick around. We'll correct stats next.
There you go. All right. Hey, Churrasco's is hosting Clint Sterner in the show in Memorial City for a Miller Lite Football Friday, Seth. 2 to 6. You love Churrasco's.
Yeah.
Hang out with the guys, have some great food and cold drinks, and get ready for Sunday's matchup in Chicago on a Miller Lite Football Friday. Up next, this latest TikTok challenge, what the hell are people doing these days?
Oh, my gosh.
What is wrong with people? We'll tell you
the
what it is.
The Texans are 16th in pressure percentage, so good job.
There you go.
My eyes did not deceive me.
Tease paid off. There you go. What are the kids doing these days on TikTok, and adults for that matter? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.